Book 7, Canto 6, page 541-543. The great world's thoughts were part of her own thoughts, the feelings dumb, forever and unshared, the ideas that never found an utterance, the dim subconscious incoherent hints laid bare a meaning twisted deep and strange, the bizarre secret of their grumbling speech, their links with underlying reality. The unseen grew visible and audible. Thoughts leaped down from a superconscious field, like eagles swooping from a viewless peak. Thoughts gleamed up from the screened subliminal depths, like golden fishes from a hidden sea. This world is a vast, unbroken totality. A deep solidarity joins its contrary powers. God's summits look back on the mute abyss. So man evolving to divinest heights, colloquies still with the animal and the jinn. The human godhead with stargazer eyes lives still in one house with the primal beast. The high meets the low, all is a single plan. So she beheld the many births of thought, if births can be of what eternal is. For the eternal's powers are like himself, timeless in the timeless, in time, ever born. This too she saw with that all in outer mind is made not born, a product perishable, forged in the body's factory by earth force. This mind is a dynamic small machine, producing ceaselessly till it wears out, with raw material drawn from the outside world, the pattern sketched out by an artist, God. Often our thoughts are finished cosmic wares, admitted by a silent office gate, and passed through the subconscious galleries, then issued in time's mart as private make. For now they bear the living person's stamp, a trick, a special hue claims them his own. All else is nature's craft, and this too hers. Our tasks are given. We are but instruments. Nothing is all our own that we create. The power that acts in us is not our force. The genius, too, receives from some high font, concealed in a supernal secrecy, the work that gives him an immortal name. The word, the form, the charm, the glory and grace are missioned sparks from a stupendous fire, a sample from the laboratory of God, of which he holds the patent upon earth. Comes to him wrapped in golden coverings, he listens for inspiration's postman knock and takes delivery of the priceless gift, a little spoilt by the receiver mind or mixed with the manufacture of his brain. When least defaced, then is it most divine, although his ego claims the world for its use. Man is a dynamo for the cosmic work. Nature does most in him, God the high rest. Only his soul's acceptance is his own. This independent, once a power supreme, self-born before the universe was made, accepting cosmos, binds himself nature's serf, till he becomes her freed man, or God's slave. This is the appearance in our mortal front. Our greater truth of being lies behind. Our consciousness is cosmic and immense, but only when we break through matter's wall, in that spiritual vastness can we stand, where we can live the masters of our world, and mind is only a means and body a tool.